Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals found shelter, and the birds lived in its branches. From it every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till 7 times pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of people. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until 7 times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honour and splendour were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisers and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exult and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble.
The book of Daniel is full of encounters between God's faithful people in exile and great kings. Nebuchadnezzar is the king in chapters 1 to 4. Next week we're going to look at Belshazzar in chapter 5 and then Darius the Persian in chapter 6. And that can create a bit of an issue for us because we read about a king who, like Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 verse 1, can write to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth and think, this has nothing to do with my life or the people I know. Yeah, the closest equivalent today would be the President of the United States. It's that kind of level of power and authority, just so removed from everyday life. But God has a purpose. He has a reason why he keeps dotting kings, great kings, through the Bible story. Why you have Pharaoh interacting with Joseph and a different Pharaoh interacting with Moses. Why Saul and David and Solomon are important in Israel's history. Why the kings of Babylon and then Persia keep coming into the story. And I think the reason why the kings are so significant is that the king of a successful empire is the best a man can get, to steal an old Gillette advertising slogan. A pharaoh in Egypt or a Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon is a human being at the best that humans can be, with the least restrictions and limitations that human beings can have. For most of us, when we think about how could I be better, we'd go, well, if only I had more resources, if only I had more opportunities, if only there weren't so many rules and regulations. But Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar are human beings without those limits. There is almost nothing that they can't do. They can pull on the resources of an entire world to meet their fantasies. They can build monumental buildings. And so they're human beings with maximum power and freedom. What that means is when we look at Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, we are seeing what human beings are like, untrammeled, unrestrained. And we're seeing how God deals with human beings. So firstly, we look at Nebuchadnezzar. This is what human beings are like. See human pride displayed. So when we have a human being without limits, a human being free to do what he wants, what does he do? He goes up onto the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He looks around Babylon and he says, I did it all and it's all for my glory. It's all about me. I've achieved this. It's my power that made it. I am the greatest. And he's shut out that idea that he's been warned of by Daniel, that there is a Most High who rules the world and who gives kingdoms to whoever he wishes. He's ignored that yellow card warning. Nebuchadnezzar actually rules only because God, the Most High, has let him rule and given him abilities and power. But Nebuchadnezzar forgets that. Human beings forget that. Verse 26, Daniel warns him, please, please acknowledge heaven. Acknowledge heaven rules, then you'll be able to live humbly but well. But Nebuchadnezzar displays humanity without limits, humanity free. This is what's in every human heart if we weren't restrained by the circumstances or God's grace. This is what we're like. We want to claim the credit for everything good we have and everything we've done and ignore the God who made us and made every good thing. It's my power. I rule my life. I want to rule over everything in my world, in my little bit of the world. I want it all to be for my glory. I want everyone to admire me for my excellence in every area. And I want people not to think, this person has only got any good things because God made them and gave them the good things. And Daniel warns us that with this pride also tends to come a mistreating of others. Verse 27, Daniel warns Nebuchadnezzar, renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. Nebuchadnezzar's glory, all the gold and big buildings, well, they'd all come, at least in part, by exploiting and oppressing others, by empire. It's not only that he steals his glory and his wealth from God, the creator who gives good things, but he's also extorted it from people. And that's what all human beings will be like if they're given a chance. If we have freedom and power, if we use our freedom and power, we'll use it to make ourselves great while taking from others. That's why politics is often so messy, because everyone wants to get stuff and no one wants to give. Everyone's like that. That's what the human heart is like. And Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4 is this human condition without limits. This is what our hearts are like as human beings. Pride and selfishness. But then we see what God is like. And that's the encouraging bit. See God's power and love displayed. So we saw the really obvious thing. No human being, even the greatest king, is above God's power. God can bring Nebuchadnezzar down in a moment. In a moment, he goes from great, proud king to like an animal, driven out, alone. Verse 33, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And that's important. God has power. And it's important to be clear. God could take away everything you have in a moment. That's what it means that we have everything as a gift from God, is that we can't hold on to it if God chooses to take it away. Not only your wealth, but your health, your sanity. God really is God. He made us. He's given us many good gifts. He can easily bring us down. In a secular state, in a tech age, we might think we finally made it. We can make life work. We can fight anything that God throws at us. We're safe from his interference. But God brought down Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king in the world. He can bring down companies and universities and presidents and generals. COVID showed us that we could have our entire lives turned upside down by things that are too small for us to see. God is mighty. And the Bible never gets God off the hook for the problem of evil by saying God is too weak. It doesn't always explain why God allows what he allows. We can cry out with the psalmists in confusion at the mess of the world. But we cry out to the God who is in charge and has power to change it. And so if you're thinking God can't change a situation or God can't change me, see God's power displayed in Nebuchadnezzar's life. But see also his love. God can judge finally. He's going to do that next week. But this week, Nebuchadnezzar is humbled because God loves him. He's humbled in order to be saved. And it's worth saying that Nebuchadnezzar is a tyrant. He would be quite at home in the company of Putin. But God saves even someone as wicked as that. Verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, Because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he's able to humble. God loved Nebuchadnezzar. God loves a human being who's sort of acting without limits and says, I'll humble you in order to save you. I'll strip everything away from you, kingdom and sanity, so that you will come to humbly know that I'm God and you're not. And therefore you can be saved. You can receive eternal life by trusting me. God takes things from human hands so that the hands are empty to receive the greatest gift, God himself. And that is the love that we see here. God is willing to save Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked tyrant, by humbling him to realize that God is God. And God wants to do the same for us. This is why Jesus came. He didn't come for people who were good. He came for people who were wicked, who know that they tend to turn away from God, to be proud, and to mistreat others. And he comes to say, come to me. I will take your sin on myself. I will be truly humbled, not just to become human, but to go down to death under God's judgment, despite being the king of the universe. I will do that because I love you, sinful human beings, and I want to turn you around and bring you back into God's family, to know God as God. And so we need to see God's power and love in the way he treats Nebuchadnezzar, and know that God's power and love are the same today, and he wants them to be at work in your life. Humble yourself before God and receive eternal life, rather than wait for God to humble you. Welcome God's work. Welcome him getting the praise. And as you look around at a world full of injustice, know that no one in your life is beyond God's power or God's love. Not the bully in the playground. Not teachers or bosses. Not prime ministers or presidents. God can humble the powerful to bring justice. And God can humble the powerful to help them to know God as God. And so that gives us hope in a world of injustice. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet. You might, depending on how much children allow you to, you might want to have a moment to think in your heart and speak to God, perhaps to say sorry for your pride and the ways you've not treated God as God. Perhaps asking God personally to help you to be humble and receive him. Perhaps asking God to work in others so that you would see his power and his love transform the lives of others. But let's take a few moments of quiet to think, to pray to God ourselves, and then Rob will lead us towards our last song.